Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Right back to personal security. We're all about personal security this hour, as it turns out. It's our last session now with John Solomon, our emergency preparedness guru. He's been joining us over the month of April every Thursday to discuss what you can do to be ready for emergencies, the big ones, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, things like that. And today we're going to open the phones and the comments page for any and all questions that you may have for John. We promised this last week. Just open phones, because a lot of questions got left on the table over the last few weeks as we pursued specific pieces of this. So anything goes right now. Call us up, and John has agreed to answer whatever you've got for him. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or question at WNYC.org. Hi, John.
Good morning.
And people remain skeptical. I'll just point that out. Even, you know, for our talking about this topic, comment number four today, maybe it would be helpful if you could tell me when and where this terrorist act, natural disaster, alien invasion will hit so I can be out of town that week. In lieu of that, I won't make a go bag. I'll just diet if there's no food after the invasion.
And if I knew who would win the eighth race at Aqueduct as well, that would be helpful. The fact is, look, obviously I can't predict it, and I can't guarantee that there will be another disaster. I hope that there will not be another disaster, but the fact is there probably will be something. The earthquake in the Midwest was just another reminder that, in fact, there's an emergency, a disaster at some point, somewhere may happen. And my argument basically is there's some things you can do to prepare in case it happens, but I hope it doesn't.
Checking in with our photo project related to this. Remember, we asked people to post your go bag comfort item. And last week, we referred to this project as the least successful photo project in the history of the Brian Lehrer Show because we had one person who did it. But today, we're calling it the fastest growing photo project in the history of the Brian Lehrer Show because we got two new original submissions, which constitutes a 200% increase over just 1 week. One of the pictures is of somebody with his comfort item, his two cats.
Which was terrific. And I think it just argues the fact that we're building through the month, that each appearance we've increased by, 100%. So I think that's terrific. It is not an easy topic. This photo project was not easy. I appreciate anyone who has thought about posting, and I hope maybe a lot of people have actually done it and not posted out in the community.
So here's a question on the web. It says, I told my boyfriend that we needed a plan on what to do if we are not together and one of us is near or in some type of disaster. How do we make contact? Do we stay put and wait, or do we plan a safe location to meet?
Well, I think the answer to that, and it's probably the answer to a lot of the questions, there's no one answer. I think the key thing is trying to get information depending on what, in fact, the threat is, what the disaster is, and that will indicate what you should be doing. But I think some of the things that you might want to do are figure out, for example, is there a meeting place somewhere in New York, or in this case, Amsterdam, where they could, in fact, you know, meet in case we, or another thing is there someone outside of the city, outside of the area that you both will call, because sometimes it's easier to, circuits will make it easier to call outside rather than inside. Another thing that my wife and I did very early, and it sounds like we're, you know, just keeping up with what's obvious, but we learned how to text message. Text during an emergency, in fact, during the London bombings, text messages went through when cell phones did not. So I think it's basically, the other question is that you should ask is, what is my work plan? What is my business's emergency plan? And so you know that. If you had kids, what is my school plan? Would we be evacuating, or more likely, would we shelter in place, which means stay there until further notice? So I think those are some of the questions that you should be asking to sort of tailor your own emergency plan. There's no one answer, but I think there's a lot you can find out with a couple of questions for yourselves.
James in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with John Solomon. Hello.
Thank you. I think he's answered my question, but I'm just wondering what other provisions should one make? Say you're not at the workplace and you're at home, and you're in Manhattan, and more than likely this is where, if any terrorist attacks are going to happen, it's going to happen. What should one do when chaos, like when 9/11 happened, what does one do?
Well, I think it will depend on the situation, but I think what you want to do is get information. Government authorities will probably be giving you information on what in fact to do, where to go, what is in fact happening. So the idea is, how do I set myself up so I can get that information? And one way, as we've talked about, is to have a radio with batteries, for example, that will be so you won't, if there's electricity goes out, you'll be able to access information. But I think it's very clear that you need to find out from the authorities what they are recommending, what you should do, what the situation is, and then act depending on that.
Toddy in New Canaan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Toddy.
Hi. My question was, what are the best kinds of food to store, which will last a long time, and where you don't have to worry about having huge amounts of either heat or water to cook them? Like, dried beans sound like a great idea, but they take forever to cook.
Well, I think canned foods, for example, we have protein bars, things that you might be storing, in fact, anyway. I think what happens here is, I think a lot of people are actually more prepared than they think they are. And they probably have stored food and maybe have stored water. And so I think when we look at trying to prepare, we shouldn't look at, in some ways it's not as big an effort as we think. We may really already be halfway there already.
All right. Don't forget, Toddy, don't forget to pack a can opener.
Okay, thank you.
If you're going to go with canned goods. I mean, cans are heavy, John.
Brian, I'm supposed to be giving the advice, but you obviously are learning over the period. Yes. Well, cans, what I was addressing, that's fair. What I was addressing, that if, in fact, you were sheltering in place,
yes.
If you were going to be in your home for, they want you to have enough supplies for 72 hours. Yes, if you had to evacuate, you would not bring a can. In fact, we were talking about the energy bars are good to take if you have to move in your go bag. But if you have to stay, cans are helpful because they last.
Someone online asked, I just took the Time Warner cable phone internet package. What I didn't realize was that the phone would be dependent on the cable, and that if there's a brownout or some such, I would lose phone service. How do I compensate for that?
You know, that's a good question, and it's a new question, which I will answer. I will find out that answer, and I'll post on my website, but I will post on this on Brian's website as well with that answer, because I think it's a very good question, and it's a sort of what's interesting is, as the technology changes and grows, there are new questions and new opportunities, and I think that's a something to address.
You know, I don't even think people realize, for the most part, anymore, that the phone lines are separate lines. And since most phones have some electricity involved with them these days in order to ring, if your electricity goes out, you're not going to hear your phone ring. But the connection is there. And so I know what some people like to do is keep, one phone coming out of one jack that's an old-fashioned phone, some kind of little, probably wireful device that doesn't need electricity in order for it to ring, and it'll still ring.
Absolutely. That's great advice, Brian. And the other thing is that your cell phone is also going to be something that's going to be of potentially of great use to you, and we've recommended getting an extra cell phone battery charging and having that ready as well.
I think you can still call out on the electric phones because the electricity only, powers the bells and whistles, the way it lights up, caller ID, the display, things like that, I think. Now, of course, a lot of those phones have batteries in the handset, especially if they're wireless phones, so that helps, because then that wouldn't go out. And I'm not entirely sure if that connects to the handset that you or to the base that you plug in and still would make a connection with the phone line without that. I think so, but that might be something to test at home. Elizabeth in Queens, you're on WNYC with John Solomon. Hello.
Hi, I was just wondering, what do you do to prepare for the disaster after the disaster? Because, for example, very briefly, I'm very sick from the toxic air in Lower Manhattan. I no longer work. And, of course, then again, you know, that goes into uninsured for medical insurance. You know, how do I deal with becoming bankrupt and not even having the money apply for bankruptcy and so forth?
Wow.
Sometimes disaster will do more than just turn your lights out for the evening.
Right.
I
think that's beyond the scope of John's expertise, which is really more the immediate and preparedness for the immediate. Obviously, you know, Elizabeth's story is awful and is I think a cautionary tale about maybe why we should be concerned.
Yeah, and I think the experiences after Ground Zero and the health problems that have come about after that hopefully have sensitized elected officials and the authorities to integrate that into emergency planning and response, because it's clearly an issue. It's a very good point.
And on the topic of go bags, somebody asks on the webpage, you'd have to have one wherever you go, at work, in the car, and what about us freelancers? I work in 3 or 4 different Midtown offices every day, like we're all going to be near our go bag when we need it.
Right. Well, I think it's a fair point. I think you will never be fully prepared, and there's no way we will be in any part of our lives to be fully prepared. But if you can have a go bag at home in case you're there, if you you can ask your employer or the business what they are doing, that covers too. You want to make sure that your kids at school have an emergency plan as well. That's another question. And, you know, you try to be as prepared as you can, but you don't let perfection be – the better be the enemy of the best.
So the same commenter concludes by saying it's a little bit – this whole thing is a little bit of a security blanket for bourgeois people or paranoid nuts. It's better to be mentally prepared, know what you'll do, and how you'll get what and where you need.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And we focused on some concrete things you can do, for example, a go bag, because it's easier to do concrete things. But I think, as you pointed out in the last show, Brian, the go bag, for example, is a way in. It's a way for people to begin to think about preparedness, begin to ask the questions, to begin to feel a little bit more that they know what they will do, and maybe feel a little bit more relaxed and find out what they need to do. But I think basic common sense that you would do in any situation is what you will really rely on in this event. And look, all the research shows that when they're in emergency, average citizens react well. But what I'm saying is there's some small things that you can do to improve how you will react, basically. And the other thing I would say is that there's important to know information. I believe more information can help people feel a little bit more secure, because when something happens, it won't be the first time they see or hear about it.
Now, we don't have time to take Bill in Huntington, but he's calling to say, yes, you can dial out on electric phones and coaxial cables do not rely on electricity. So I guess he's saying you can dial out on the cable phone. I'm not sure. But that's what Bill in Huntington says. Well, we're out of time. John Solomon, this has been really interesting. I guess you saw the New York Times piece just recently called Duck and Cover, It's the New Survivalism. So you're not the only person concerned about this right now.
Good. Yeah, I did see it, and I was happy. If it's on the style section of the New York Times, it means it must be a cool new thing to be involved in. So I was glad to see that.
John Solomon on his local community board CERT team, working on a book about personal preparedness for emergencies. You can come back when the book comes out.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for doing this with us these last 4 weeks.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.